I have the great privilege of sharing the Word of God with you tonight as Pastor Robert is away, taking a day off. And if you have your Bibles, or you can open up your, you know, electronic Bible apps on your phone and turn to Daniel chapter 1. I was really praying about what to share, and the Lord laid upon my heart Daniel, just looking at the character of this guy. And I want to be like Daniel. I want to be like Jesus, of course, but as we look at the life of the prophet Daniel, we're going to get some things that will remind us that we need to be walking in integrity as men and women of God. Amen? And so I want to encourage us tonight as we look at his life. He's a great example of a man who handled the situations of life in really a godly way, even through the hard times. And we were just singing that. I'll be lifting Jesus high, even through the trials and the storms and the heartaches that come from time to time. And we know that life can bring many changes and challenges to us as Christians. We're not exempt, are we, from facing difficult days and sometimes even a difficult life through maybe an illness or whatever. We're not exempt from that. And there are many dilemmas that will occur from time to time. And, you know, we don't have control over them. And so I pray that God will, through this study tonight, grow us in our faith, that he'll grow us in our integrity as men and women of God, and our witness by looking at two different situations that Daniel faced in his life and how he responded to them and gave God the glory. I don't know about you, but you know that even through difficult times, the Lord will still use us to be a witness to those around us as they look at our lives and wonder how in the world are we handling the situation that we might be going through. And it's an incredible look at a man of God who is an example to all of us. And so as Christians, we must have faith in God, knowing that he's in control at all times, not just when it's good, but even when it's hard. And so as we apply our faith in God, as we walk in obedience, we will be God's witnesses in this world, no matter what happens. And so the title of this message would be Walking in Integrity. And the word means this: the quality of being honest, having strong moral principles, and it means just to be moral upright. And so let's identify what godly integrity looks like as we look at the life of Daniel. And the first situation in Daniel's life occurs in chapter 1. It is a time of change for him and his buddies, a time of challenge as well. And so would you pray with me? Father in heaven, we thank you so much for just that awesome time of worship, Lord. Oh, it just feels so good to be in your presence, Lord. Thank you for allowing us to gather together in this place tonight, this midweek study, Lord, and we just need it. And Father, I pray that you would just encourage us, but also challenge us, rebuke us if you need to, Lord. Convict us, just have your way, Lord. We want to be right before you in every single area of our lives. And so, Lord, now as we look at your word, may we just feel your presence as you would speak to us and grow us to be more like Jesus, we pray. And it's in his name we pray, amen. Chapter 1 in the book of Daniel. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. Bummer. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand. Wait. What did you catch that? And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with some of the articles of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God, small g, of course. And he brought the articles into the treasure house of his God. And so we see that the Lord is working even in the midst of being captives to the Babylonians. And then the king instructed Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel and some of the king's descendants and some of the nobles, young men in whom there was no blemish, but good looking. That's always important, I guess. Gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge and quick to understand, who had ability to serve in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the language and the literature of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed for them a daily provision of the king's delicacies and of the wine which he drank, and 3 years of training for them, so that at the end of that time they might serve before the king. Now from among those of the son of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And to them the chief of the eunuchs gave names. He gave Daniel the name Belteshazzar, to Hananiah Shadrach, and to Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego. And so we read here and we're reminded that sometimes things happen in life where we have absolutely no control over. Basically, these guys are kidnapped from their own country and forced to live in another country serving an ungodly king. They were taken away from their family and their friends, their country, forced into service with this guy. I'm sure it would have been a hard time for them. I've moved quite a few times in my life, but it's usually been of my own choice. I've never been forced to. Some of you in the military, you guys growing up with your mom or your dad being stationed all over the place, and you were forced to move around a lot or whatever. So maybe you can identify with this. But this was kind of a hostile kidnapping. Daniel and his friends had no choice in the matter. Out of control for them. How do you handle change, by the way? As I was studying, the Lord reminded me, hey, how do you handle change, Jim? Do we trust God that whatever is happening, that he will see us through it? I hope so. I've done pretty good sometimes. Or do we get depressed about the thing that's occurring? Or do we get angry? Or do we get stressed out about it? Where are you at tonight? Maybe you are experiencing a change in employment or a relationship, or, you know, maybe it's you're going to move soon or whatever. How do you handle change of, well, I just got to be honest, Lori and we laugh at each other because we're getting a little older, you know, and we're changing, you know, our bodies are changing, whatever. We're just kind of reminding each other, you know, we're trying to have a good attitude about things, but you know, things happen when you get older, whatever. How do you handle change? And that's just a funny part of it, but some of us not so funny, but you know what I mean. But I don't want to be one that moans and complains about change, because why? I know that the Lord is in control of everything, right? We have given him our lives. He is our master. He is our Lord. He can do absolutely what he wants with us, and he can absolutely allow anything to come into our lives. And we really don't have any control over it, right? We humble ourselves before the Lord, and we trust him in all of these things. So I don't want to be depressed or angry or stressed out about it. But we see that the Babylonians were trying to change the thinking of these guys by giving them a Babylonian education and literature now. Their loyalty, trying to change by changing their names, and their lifestyles by changing their diet. What would you do? Daniel finds himself in a dilemma here. He's supposed to become like a Babylonian. He could have made excuses, I guess, and maybe said something like, hey, I'm just gone along with the crowd. Everybody's doing it. Well, we have to live like they do. We're living in their culture now. He could have said those things. But check out verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. I love that about Daniel. There's that first character trait that pops out there. You see, the Babylonians could change Daniel's home and his textbooks. He could change their language and their diets and their names, but they couldn't change his heart, could they? Nobody can change our hearts except the Lord God Almighty. Why? Because he purposed in his heart that he would obey God's word and that he would not defile himself, even while forced to live in an ungodly culture. No compromise for this guy. I love that. No compromise. He purposed in his heart. What does it mean to be purposed or resolved about something? It means to be devoted to a principle. It means to be committed to a course of action. Devoted and committed. Purposing in his heart not to defile himself. What do you think it means to defile oneself? The word defile means to soil or desecrate. It means to pollute or stain, to become unclean. It's kind of an ugly word there, isn't it? Daniel was a man of faith because he believed God's word, gave his life to God, and so he was careful to live for God's purposes. He purposed in his heart not to defile himself no matter what. It was in his heart. I like that. The heart speaks of the soul, the very center of our being. He purposed in his heart not to defile himself, not just his head. Well, I think I shouldn't do this, you know, or whatever. It was in his heart. He had purposed in his heart not to defile himself. He chose to be devoted and committed to the Lord. He had made a decision and determined to be faithful to do what was right and not give in to peer pressure. Daniel trusted the Lord in situations that he had no control over, again, being basically kidnapped and forced to live in another culture, and then was told that he had to eat specific things that would defile himself. He really didn't have a choice in the matter, but I love how he was bold enough to stand and say, hey, you know, Aspenaz, I need to talk to you a little bit. And he had this concern because he did not want to defile himself with the king's delicacies and the things that he had purposed in his heart not to do before the Lord. And I love his faith as he believed God's word and he trusted the Lord as he purposed to live right before the Lord. And again, we were talking about it was in his heart, not just his head, and he really chose to be devoted and chose to be committed to follow God's way and God's ways. He had made that decision. He was determined to be faithful to do what was right and not give in to the peer pressures around him. I don't know what kind of peer pressure you might be faced, but we live in an ungodly world, if you've noticed. And so there's a lot of pressure for us to just go along with the crowd or, you know, succumb to what people think is okay. But we have a standard by which we live, don't we? We have the Word of God, and I think it's important for all of us to purpose in our hearts not to pollute or stain or defile ourselves before the Lord. And so an application point here, it is important, very important, to make decisions and set boundaries before we get into any compromising situation. Notice that was past tense. Daniel had purposed in his heart not to defile himself. So whatever happened in his life, he knew and he was confident that, you know what, I'm going to serve the Lord. And whatever I'm going to face in this life, I have purposed in my heart to just give my life and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's easier to resist temptation if we think through our convictions before the trials come, before the temptations come, or the peer pressure arrives. I also think it's a lifelong commitment, which becomes a lifestyle of obedience, you see, as we follow God. And so that's exciting that he had purpose in his heart. Have you made a lifelong commitment in your heart to the Lord that you would not defile or stain or pollute yourself? Have you purposed in your heart? Have you defiled yourself in any way? If you have, you need to confess that to the Lord. You need to ask him forgiveness. Why? Because he will give it to you. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And listen, it feels good to be forgiven, you know, right? So if there's anyone here tonight, if you've not purposed in your heart to defile yourself, not to do that, you need to do that tonight. And if you find yourself in some area where you've defiled yourself, then you need to get right with God by just confessing that to him, asking for forgiveness, and giving your life over to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's pretty important to do that. Purpose in your heart today that you will never do that thing again, and you won't with God's help. Now, I want you to know that as we make that commitment to not defile ourselves, God intervenes on our behalf. Look at as we pick it up in verse 9, and we'll go for a little ways, probably to verse 17. Now, God had brought Daniel into the favor and the goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. Who brought Daniel into the favor? God. There's a second time that we read that God is working behind the scenes. God gave the Babylonians the ability to go and take the Israelites out into captivity. Here we see that God had brought Daniel into favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. And the chief of the eunuchs says to Daniel, I fear my lord the king who has appointed your food and drink, for why should he see your faces looking worse than the young men who are your age? So apparently the king's kind of a scary guy. Aspenaz was to take care of these guys. Then you would endanger my head before the king. Wow. So Daniel says to the steward, whom the chief of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, here's what he comes up with. I love his wisdom here. Please test your servants for 10 days and let them give us vegetables to eat. I'm like, what? That's what it says. Let them give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance be examined before you and the appearance of the young men who eat the portion of the king's delicacies. And as you see fit, so deal with your servants. So he consented with them in this matter and tested them for 10 days. And at the end of the 10 days, their features appeared better and fatter in flesh than all the young men who ate the portion of the king's delicacies. Thus the steward took away their portion of delicacies and the wine they were to drink, and gave them vegetables. As for these four young men, God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the 10 days, when the king had said that they should be brought in, and the chief of the eunuchs brought them in before the king, or before Nebuchadnezzar, then the king interviewed them, and among them all, none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore, they served before the king, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding about which the king examined them, he found them how many times better? 10 times better than all the magicians and the astrologers that were in all his realm. Thus, Daniel continued into the first year of King Cyrus. So here's how Daniel handles that situation. I love it. But the first point was there, God intervened on Daniel's behalf. God granted Daniel favor. God caused the official to show favor and sympathy towards Daniel. I don't know if Daniel knew that or not. Probably not. I don't know. But God's working behind the scenes on his behalf. And so we see God working behind the scenes in unseen ways. And so God intervened on his behalf because Daniel was faithful not to defile himself. I love that. Do you understand when you step out in faith and you stand up for your faith and you let somebody know that, you know, this is wrong for me, I want to serve God Almighty, that the Lord will, like, get our backs or watch over us. And he's always working behind the scenes. Sometimes we don't think that. Sometimes we forget that. Why is this happening to me? I don't understand it. But God's working things out. Be patient and trust the Lord in these times. We see that happening here. I love how Daniel stood up for his faith. He asked permission to test them. He's pretty bold there. Stand up for the Lord. Stand up for Jesus Christ today. Don't give in to the peer pressure. Ask the Lord to give you wisdom and discernment how to deal with the for your situation, and he will. I love how Daniel did something about it. He politely asked for a different diet in order to stay obedient. And so because God gave Aspenaz favor and sympathy towards Daniel, he agrees with the request, and for 10 days they eat their veggies. You know, it's good to eat your veggies because look how many times healthier they were. You know, Lori reminds me all the time, eat your veggies, Jim. I'm like, let's go to In-N-Out. But for the second time, we read that God intervened on behalf of these faithful guys, and I love that. Application point: just because we find ourselves in a hard situation, maybe an unfair one or an ungodly one, know that God knows all. He knows what's happening, right? He sees all. And may we not feel like God is somewhere out there and he's not listening or he doesn't care about my situation. Oh, yes, he does. In fact, he's in control of all of it. God is working all things out for the good of those that love him and serve him. There's always a reason for the trials and the testings of our faith. You know what it is? To give God glory, even through the hard times. And after some years here, look at verses 18 through 21 here. We went through the end of it. Resolving not to defile themselves. And so I see commitment here, and I see integrity here from these guys. They stand before the king. Nobody's equal to these faithful guys. What a witness to them. They entered the king's service, living in an ungodly culture, remember, working for an ungodly king. And in every matter of wisdom and understanding, 10 times better. What an example these guys are for the Lord. We know that the king's staff included many magicians or astrologers. They would try to tell the king what the gods are saying, who claimed to be able to tell the future through really occult practices. They were popular then, they're still today. But I love how God allowed Daniel to interpret dreams and use him in that way as well. And so we read that Daniel remained there until King Cyrus. You know how many years that was, by the way? 67 years he remained serving the Babylonian king, serving in that ungodly situation. How did he do it? He purposed in his heart not to defile himself before the Lord. How do we do it? Same way. Just purpose in our hearts. I'm not going to defile myself before the Lord. So three observations that stick out to me here. Although Daniel and his friends lived in a culture that did not honor God, they still obeyed God. They didn't give in to peer pressure. They didn't give in to temptation, but were committed and they were faithful to God no matter what, because they purposed in their hearts beforehand that they wouldn't defile themselves. You and I, we too, are to commit to a lifestyle of godliness and obedience while living in our ungodly culture. And stay away from anything that would soil us or stain us. You need to guard yourselves. We need to guard our hearts and our minds. Have faith and have integrity. A second thing I see here is these guys made a hard decision not to soil and degrade themselves beforehand. Remember, we are to think through our convictions and resolve and decide before we get into situations. You never know when they're coming. They will come. And so we got to stick to them, and we stick through them no matter how hard or how long the situation might last. For Daniel, pretty long time, 67 years. Number three, God showed himself faithful. I love that. Daniel probably didn't realize how God moved on the heart of Ashpenaz, but God intervened on his behalf because Daniel was faithful. And God will intervene on our behalfs as well as we continue to make a stand for him. And we need to know that God is working always, even if we don't see him. Be patient. Warren Wiersbe said, because these guys lived in the will of God, they enjoyed the love of God. Now turn over real quick to Daniel chapter 6. One more situation that Daniel finds himself in. This one's a little more serious, as you've read chapter 6 before. It's the story of the lion's den. In chapter 6, we read, it pleased Darius, new king, by the way, to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be over the whole kingdom, and over these, three governors, of whom Daniel was one, that the satraps might give an account to them so that the king would suffer no loss. Pretty smart. And then this Daniel distinguished himself. I love this. This Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and the satraps because why? An excellent spirit was in him. And the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. So the governors and the satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom of God. But they could find no charge or fault. I love that. Because he was what? Faithful. Say it. Faithful. Nor was there any error or fault found in him. And then these men said, we shall not find any charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God. I love that. By the way, Daniel is now in his 80s, somewhere around there, still working with those that don't believe in God in an ungodly culture, continually serving the Lord under a new king. And I love how Daniel distinguished himself above the others. It means exceptional qualities, and it was his own initiative. Daniel distinguished himself. And so we see the responsibility that all of us have to make sure we live that godly life, no matter what culture we live in. He was noticed by his character as a godly man because he had an excellent spirit in him. Again, being a man of integrity and honesty. But then jealousy pops up, and there's always those around us that are jealous of us. Other guys become jealous, and they try to find some charge against Daniel, you know? Somebody's promoted maybe over you or whatever, and they just get mad for some reason. I don't know. Don't let it bother you, though. God's in control. But they could find no fault or charge against Daniel. Why? Because he was a faithful man. He was full of godly integrity as a man of faith. We read that there was no error or fault found in this guy. Could people say that about you and me right now? If I was to ask your friends or your family, is there any fault in your life? And I'm thinking, man, God help me to live and be above reproach with my family and my wife and you guys and the people that we're with. That nobody could accuse you. I thought you were a Christian. You said that. You did that. I love that. No fault. They couldn't find anything against Daniel. I'm like, God help us all. Amen? Yeah, no fault. So I love that about Daniel. So they come up with a plan. We'll never find any basis for charges against this man, Daniel, unless it has something to do with the law of his God. I like that. What an awesome witness for the Lord. Daniel's testimony and lifestyle revealed to these guys that he loved and he served and he talked with his God. They knew he was a man of prayer. So they make a plan to get the king to make a law. Check it out in verse 6. So the governors and the satraps thronged before the king. Don't really know what that means, but probably rushed up to him and said this to him. King Darius, live forever. Typical greeting. All the governors of the kingdom and administrators and satraps, the counselors, advisors have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days, oh, except you, O king, shall be cast in the den of lions. What kind of bizarre thing is that? Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which does not alter. Therefore, King Darius signed the written decree. He's kind of weird here, you know. I'm thinking, man, what did he do that? I'll be like a god for 30 days and people can just worship me and nobody else. It's funny how the enemy moves and works. Watch out for jealousy, by the way. It can get really weird. We see it here. It's just weird. And so in Darius's pride, I guess, sounds good. He'll be like a god for 30 days. They remind the king under the law. He can't change it, by the way. And so the law was written and immediately went into effect. What would you do? You can't pray to your God anymore. If we catch you, you're going to the lion's den. Look what Daniel does in verse 10. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home. Okay, that's probably a good thing to do. I'm going home, man. I'm just getting out of here. But look at what he does in his upper room with his windows open. Love that. Towards Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day, and he prayed, and he gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since the early days. So we see that he's a man of prayer. And these guys assembled and they found him praying, of course, they knew it, making supplications before his God. And they went before the king and spoke concerning the king's decree. Have you not signed a decree that every man who petitions any god or man within 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast in the den of lions? King answered and said, yeah, it's true, according to the law. So they answered and they said before the king, that Daniel, who is one of the captives from Judah, does not show due regard for you, O king, or the decree that you have signed, but makes his petition three times a day. And when the king heard this, do you think he was pleased? Look at him. He was greatly displeased with himself and set his heart on to deliver Daniel and he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men approached the king and says to the king, "Now, O king, it is the law of the Medes and the Persians that no decree or statute which the king establishes may be changed." So the king gives the command, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. But the king spoke to Daniel, "Your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you." It's like, what? The ungodly king is saying, hey, your God, he's going to deliver you. I love that. What a witness. And then the stone was brought, laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own ring and the signets of the Lord, that the purpose concerning Daniel might not be changed. Like, wow. Daniel hears about that, and he goes home to pray. Three times a day. How many times do we pray every day? Hopefully in the morning before you even leave your house, because you never know what is going to happen during that day. But it's important that we have set times of prayer, habitual prayer. We see that Daniel had a disciplined prayer life. He prayed regularly. He prayed on his knees too. There's just something about humbling ourselves on our knees, isn't it? And he gave thanks. Always give God thanks for stuff. And Daniel knew the consequences that if you were caught praying, but he chose to be eaten by lions rather than miss one prayer meeting with God. I love that. Don't wait till you get in a hardship to call out to God. Call out to him every day, at least three times a day. What kind of things keep us from praying? We don't have the threat of lion's den, do we? But petty little things will keep us busy. Maybe I don't got time. Oh, I'm late for work or this and that, you know. And be careful, church. Have regular set times of prayer. How important is prayer to us? Martin Luther said, "I have so much to do today that I must set apart more time than usual to pray." I like that. Howard Taylor, son of J. Hudson Taylor, said this of his dad, "These 40 years have not seen the sun rise in China without my father kneeling in prayer." That's like awesome to have your kids say something like that about you. My mom and dad pray every single night for me, you know, every single morning. Application point. If we are to get through the dilemmas of life, we must be of prayer. Amen. We must be of prayer. Daniel was a prayer warrior. So yes, he was found praying and asking God for help. Do you know it's cool to be found praying? Parents, do your kids find you guys praying? Husbands, how about your wives? Do they catch you praying? Wives, your husbands, your grandkids, your friends? So important. Be found praying. There's prayer on Thursday nights here, every Thursday night, you know. You guys are welcome to come here at 6 or 6:30 and just pray. Love it. Daniel was found praying, so should we. And so they come to the king and they let him know what is happening, and he's distressed, determined to set his heart to rescue Daniel. He tries to do something all day, deliver him, but the law couldn't be changed. Daniel's devotion to God here makes an impact on King Darius. I like that as well. I hope we do the same to those that are around us. And of course, they can't change it, but I love how Darius says, "May your God, whom you serve continually, Daniel, rescue you." The faith of an ungodly king making that kind of statement to Daniel. Talk about being encouraged, you know. Here we have a king who is very anxious about the situation, the dilemma of Daniel, and then you have Daniel probably at peace knowing that God is in control because he prayed, he thanked God, and he had asked God for help. Application point right here. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And here's the promise, that the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will what? Guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. I love that. That's a promise of God, by the way, right there. The word anxious, you're like, really? Come on. Literally, the word means overwhelmed. Do not be overwhelmed, freaked out, stressed out about this thing. Okay, concern is one thing, but overwhelms another thing. No, you pray instead. How do we react in certain situations of life? How do you handle extreme dilemmas? This is like life-threatening. This is big for Daniel. You ever been in a life-threatening situation? Maybe right here we had a little one. I don't know. You never know what a day holds. Boy, we got to be ready to pray and trust the Lord to minister to us. And so by faith and trust, we call upon God who will give us his peace, which far exceeds our own understanding of why did this happen? Why is this happening? You know, it's bigger than all that. The peace of God comes in to us and ministers to us with his peace. He's in control of our lives no matter what's happening. And then the deliverance, I love this. And the king gave the command, now the king went to his palace and he spent the night fasting. Look at this guy. And no musicians were brought before him. Also, his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste. He's in a hurry to the den of lions. And he comes to the den and he cries out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. He said, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, look at that witness, been able to deliver you from the lions? He's probably all like, Daniel! He's lamenting, by the way, like he's really bummed out. He's hoping that Daniel answers back, and he does. He says to the king, O king, live forever, that greeting. My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth so that they have not hurt me because I was found innocent before him. That's good to be. And also, king, I have done no wrong before you. And now the king was what? How glad was he? Exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So he was taken up out of the den. No injury whatsoever was found on him because he believed in his God. Underline that one. No injury whatever was found on him. Why? Because he believed in his God. So there's that application. Believe in God, you guys, when we experience trials and tribulations. Lions are big cats. I got bit by my little cat. He's about this today. I got a little mark right there. Can you imagine a lion? You know, you see these pictures on Facebook, you know, these trainers that come, the lions come roaring up and they're all friendly, gives them a big old hug. I'm kind of thinking that's what they did to Daniel. I don't know. But we know that the angel shut the mouth of the lion or whatever, but God protected him. God showed up in the midst of his trial and his tribulation and delivered him. I love that about our God. Maybe not always. But you pray that God would deliver you out of your hardship and your trial and your situation. Notice that God didn't save him from the lion's den. He had to go through it, but he delivered him from out of it, didn't he? Had to go through it, had to go in it, but God took him out of it. Sometimes God allows us to go through the trial, you see, to test our faith and to show others through us and the trial that God is real. So Daniel was delivered because he was found innocent before God and he had done nothing wrong. How about you? Are we innocent before God tonight? I hope so. I hope you're right with the Lord. Are we innocent before man? Anybody got a charge against us tonight? Daniel's reputation and integrity, I love that. Nothing before the Lord or man. And I love how Daniel's faith in God saved him. And it's the same for us too. Because he had faith in God, he was faithful to God. And so the king took care of those who had falsely accused Daniel and were thrown in. Check this out. The king gave the command. They brought those men who had accused Daniel, cast them into the den of lions. Just in case you think they weren't hungry, including their children and their wives, and the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces before they ever came to the bottom of the den. Wow. And please know that your sin affects others like these guys that manipulated the king. It not only cost their lives, but their family's lives. Watch out for sin. Watch out for defilement. So I love how Daniel was a man of reputation and character and prayer and devotion in the things of God. And King Darius writes this beautiful proclamation to all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth. Peace be multiplied to you. Yeah, that's a good thing to be praying for as well. He said, I make a decree in every dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. He is the living God and steadfast forever. Yeah. His kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall endure to the end. He delivers and he what? Rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth, who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lion. So this Daniel, there's that statement again. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Awesome example. Awesome example of a man of God walking in integrity. Life was difficult. Daniel experienced a lot of challenges in his life, but he remained faithful and God delivered him. You know, God calls us to remain faithful as well in our ungodly world, that we might be examples and witnesses too. And so like Daniel, we will face hardship. Just because life is hard at times, we're maybe tempted to give in to the world's ways, but don't. Don't defile yourself. Stay strong in the Lord. How do you do it? Number one, we must purpose in our hearts not to defile ourselves. Just purpose in your hearts. Make that commitment tonight if you've never done it. God, I want a purpose in my life now just to live for you. I don't want to live for the world. I don't want to live for this thing that would defile me or separate me from you. Be encouraged. Trust the Lord. Know that he works behind the scenes, number two, even if you don't understand why this thing is happening to you. Be encouraged. Trust that he's there and be with you all the way through it. And he just may deliver you right out from it, like he did Daniel. Number three, be devoted to God in prayer. Talk to God a lot. Be a man and a woman who prays. Don't neglect that time. We got to guard that. Daniel was known as a prayer warrior. May we be known that as well. Number four, be a Christian of godly character and reputation. Distinguish yourselves before others at work, in your home, and in your neighborhood. Five, again, devoted to prayer. Be found praying, number five. Let other people see you pray. Don't be ashamed to pray for your meal when you go out tonight, maybe later after church, you know. Just be found praying every day with your wife, your husband, your kids, for one another, for Pastor Robert, for this church, for the people of Tucson. Just be found praying. And finally, trust that God will deliver us out of all of our troubles in his perfect way and in his perfect timing, according to his will. Remember, life is hard, but God is faithful. Life is unpredictable, but God is sovereign. Life is unfair, but God is just. Life is short, but God is eternal. And remember, on this earth, nothing lasts forever, not even your troubles. Colossians 2:6 says, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus, Lord, so walk in him. The daily walk of the Christian is so absolutely important because it is our witness to this world. Our character is exemplified in our behavior, and it's the only Bible that people may read. So let us learn to walk in integrity so as to please God and to bless others, right? Walk in integrity. Father, thank you so much, Lord, for this look at this man. Awesome example of a man with integrity. He prayer warrior, purpose in his heart not to defile himself before you, Lord. And God, we want to be like that. I pray, God, that you would give us all strength to just live out the rest of our lives, making fresh and new commitments tonight, just to serve you all the days of our lives, no matter what is happening, Lord, that we would trust you through every bit of it. And it's in Jesus' name we pray and we say, amen. Amen. God bless you guys.